What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Salty Huntsman podcast. So this week I have Jarrett Moskwa on the podcast. He's another Michigan guy. This is pretty much just a good old-fashioned, BS session. So I hope you guys all enjoy it. Jarrett's a pretty cool dude. And, just do what you always do, share the episode and give it a 5-star review on Spotify. Leave a comment on Apple iTunes if you can. I'd really appreciate it. With that being said, let's get into this week's episode with Jarrett. Hope you guys all enjoy. All right. So what's up, Jarrett?
Just hanging out on a Sunday.
Yeah. Now, how do you say your last name? Because I don't want to butcher it.
It's Moskwa.
Moskwa?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I don't really know how to say this. And I hate when my last name's Taylor, and I've had people get it wrong, and I'm like, how do you get that wrong?
How do you get Taylor wrong?
They'll say Tyler a lot.
Yeah, I'm used to everybody butchering my name, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, I think it's like people look at me when someone says Tyler, and I'm like, I don't know, like, whatever. Like, okay. Yeah, man, so how'd your hunting season go?
It wasn't as good as I hoped. I was chasing a specific buck on public land, and I shouldn't have shot. I hit a limb and missed this buck. It would have been my largest to date. But
how did that happen?
Yeah, it was a bad, like, the whole day. I got out there early, an hour before sunrise, and I sat out there all day long, and it was the last 10 minutes. I basically gave up. It was like a mental thing.
Right.
Because, I mean, when you're sitting out there all day long and you don't see one deer, so I started packing up early.
What time of year was this?
And then this was early November.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
I think it was the first week of November.
Yep.
I remember. I record when I go hunting. So I put the camera down, but I turned the viewfinder towards me. Mm-hmm. So I was lit up in the last 10 minutes of shooting light. So, and then this buck comes walking out exactly where I was expecting. And so he saw me, but he wasn't sure what I was. He turned broadside and I was able to draw back, but I hit a limb. Arrow veered off to the right of him 10 yards and a whole bunch of swear words came next.
Yeah. So you didn't hit the deer at all. It just completely winged it, like the arrow just sent.
Correct. No, okay. I was 10 yards to the right. I hit a branch. Yeah. 10 minutes of last light, you can't see everything that you...
No.
I thought I had a clean opening, but, luckily I didn't hit the deer at risk wounding it. That was kind of stupid on my part, but...
Yeah.
Lesson learned.
Right. No, absolutely. That's what it's all about, is learning lessons.
But, other than that, I shot two does and a different buck at another property. So it wasn't that bad, but we ended up butchering and for the family 12 deer last fall. So we did good.
Yeah. Sounds good. So, yep. Cell cams, you use them?
I have one. Okay. And it started out, what state do they just banned cell cams?
Arizona.
Arizona. Okay, yeah. I don't agree with that at all. Just for the fact that you're taking away hunting rights.
Yeah.
I think, anytime that you're reducing what you're able to do for hunters is going in the bad direction. But yeah, I do have one cell cam. The rest of them are regular cams. That's an interesting thing, because last year was my first time using a cell cam.
Yeah.
And if you don't check yourself, you can get addicted really fast.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you run cell cams?
Yeah, I have eight. I run eight.
Yeah. So yeah. How often do you find yourself checking them?
A couple times a day, honestly. I don't have my notifications on for it, because sometimes I'll get those wind pictures and it could get super annoying with, you know, you'll get like, at first they were really hard for me to understand. I don't know why, but I had to learn how to position them correctly to where I wasn't getting a lot of pictures of the wind, because I hunt on public land in upstate New York, and the wind comes off the lake, you know, off Lake Ontario, and it just, you'll have, you know, 500 pictures of nothing. So once I figured that out, how to mitigate getting all those pictures, I mean, I like them. I've been running them for the past couple of years now. Every year I'll get like another one or two, but I think that they're good. They're good for gathering intel, but they're also, I think they're also really bad if they're used in the incorrect way. That's what I think. I don't know. I could just see them going away. I could see them just getting taken away from us, honestly.
I do, but I don't agree with, I mean, why did they ban them? Is it too much intrusion on people's, I don't, like, I need to read that whole article.
From, I think, like, from the Arizona one, I believe it's Arizona, what I read up was, so for elk and mule deer and whatever in Arizona, there's only, like, certain watering holes that they could water at, and so many people were putting cameras all around those water holes that they were, like, killing off the elk and the mule deer or whatever they were trying to get pictures of, because they were always in there messing with the water, like, or around it. And there would be, like, one tree with, like, 12 different cameras on it from people.
Now, yeah. That's just unsportsmanlike there.
Right, yeah. But it was crazy. Like, I saw a picture of it, like, a year or two ago. And this like, it was like a dead tree. And it just was littered with cameras. And all the cameras had, like, lock boxes on them and stuff, you know. So, like, nobody could steal them. But it was, like, the only tree that was around for however. And it was just retarded. I was like, wow, this is kind of out of hand. And I heard, like, the conservation officers were getting calls about people, like, messing with the cameras and stuff. And I heard a lot of that was, like, they were like, okay, well, then, you know, we'll just be done with it. Like, if you can't act like an adult. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the problem would resolve itself, like, if there's a camera on a tree and a second camera. But when you start getting double-digit cameras on trees, it's like,
yeah,
I guess the problem won't solve itself. But, yeah, they had a problem, and they decided to get rid of it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to other podcasts where guys who run 40, 50 cell cameras talk about, I mean, just talk about the problems that they have. And I'm like, man, that's a lot of money to run that many. But I also think that there is, as far as fair chase goes, I think there's ways that some people do abuse them to where they do take away the fair chase. I mean, for instance, we had there was a social media influencer just like a month or two ago that got a picture of a nice buck on her camera and then ran right outside and shot it, you know? And
I think I've seen that too. Yep.
Yeah. And it's just like, come on. Like, is that, you know, is that, like, morally, is that okay? I don't think so. Like, you weren't hunting. You were sitting in your house, and then you got a picture of the deer and you went out and shot it. Like,
yeah, you got notified, hey, there's something here, let's go shoot it. Yeah. Yeah. That fair chase. I could see that.
Yeah, and that's how I think they're going to get taken away, because more and more of that keeps happening, and, like, the game wardens or conservation officers, whoever, start catching wind of stuff like this. I don't know. Even the wrong people start hearing stuff like this. Like, people who don't hunt, who don't understand, you know, they're going to be like, I don't like the sound of that. So, you know, let's raise a stink about it.
I'm ignorant on, like, how it all went down over there. I would imagine that they could have done like a, almost like a cell cam season.
Yeah.
Like, where they restrict, like, when you can use them, like, maybe just for like the month or two leading up to hunting season and eliminate them, but just to ban them altogether. I mean, that seemed like a little drastic in my eyes.
I do believe that some states do have that, where it's like July or August, that's when you could start putting out trail cameras. And at the end of the year, you have to pull them all at the end of the hunting season.
Yeah, but it's like tree stands here. You still see, you have to have them removed, but
yeah,
you have guys that put their stands up all year long.
Oh, man. Oh, on public land up here, I've like gotten back into the shit and I've found some of these like old wooden tree stands. And I'm like, how, like these guys must have, there must have been a few of them to walk all this lumber back there and everything to build these old wooden platforms. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. No, there's, we have people that leave tree stands up as well. Yeah, I actually had one stolen from me, so that was cool. I was like, all right, sweet. Awesome.
Oh, a blind or your stand?
My stand, yeah. Yeah, I it was a ladder stand, and I usually don't use ladder stands anymore. I just do the climbing sticks with the hanger.
Yeah.
But I got it as a gift, and I was like, well, I'll put it up in a spot where, like, I don't know, like a spot where I don't really want to hunt that much, if that makes sense. Like, it's hard to get into, so that's where I put it. And, man, I went back there this year to hunt out of it one time, and I was like, I could have swore that it was in this tree, and I did a couple circles walking around, and I had my Onyx app out, and I'm like, it's right here. Like, where? And then I found a strap, and I was like, yeah, it was in this tree, and now it's gone. So.
Yeah, people suck.
Oh, yeah, in the same area, I had a – well. I had a cell cam out there 2 years ago in the same area, and I got a picture of one guy who is straight up staring at my camera. And then like 2 hours later, there were three guys, including the one guy who had found it, like looking at my camera, but I put my cameras up high and they can't, like, I don't know if they were trying to like come up with a plan on how to get it or whose camera it was or whatever, but I was like, I swear to God, if you idiots steal my camera, like, I will know because I have your face, you know, like I
would. Dude, it takes a special type of low life to take something that's not yours.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I was talking with a guy yesterday that who hunts the same public as me. And he had some some cameras taken. I'm like, what is wrong with people? That would never cross my mind to, hey, look at this. And
excuse me. Yeah. No, I've found a couple of cameras out on public up here, and the only thing I think when I see them, I was like, well, I guess somebody's already, you know, interested in the spot, so I'll just move on somewhere else. I don't really, you know, I don't know, it never really has occurred to me either to steal people's cameras. I
get it, it's courtesy, you have to be courteous of other people.
Yeah, no, I and I'll admit this, I was scouting some public with this kid, and he was like in his early 20s. And we came across a camera, and I just, you know, I was just like, oh, yeah, it's a camera, you know, just keep going, you know, like, whatever. And then this kid, like, goes up to the camera and, like, turns it around where it's facing the tree. I was like, dude, I was like, put it back. Like, you know how pissed I would be if I came and my trail camera was turned back to the tree, you know? Like,
exactly. Like, what would that kid be thinking if somebody did that to his camera?
That's what I told him. Yeah, I was like, come on, man. Like, it's not, you know, that, and that's how you start shit, you know? That's how, like,
yeah.
Someone finds your camera and they're like, oh, well, it must have been this guy, so now I'm going to mess with his shit, you know? It's ridiculous.
Yep, retaliation.
Yeah, and I definitely don't think there's any place for that, especially us. I mean, us as the outdoor as outdoorsmen and hunters, like, we have enough problems rather than, you know, fighting amongst each other. Like, it's pretty ridiculous. Yeah, so... Moving on from cell cams, are you into turkey hunting at all or anything like that?
I have started to get more involved into turkey the past couple of years. I've done a few times in my, I would say, late 20s. It was just never a thing that I got to do. I wasn't raised on turkey hunting. It was all deer. That's where my passion tends to lie, is bow hunting deer.
Right.
But, yeah, past couple of years going after turkeys, I'm realizing how fun it is.
Yeah.
Especially with my own kids, like taking them out. My son got his first turkey. It was a little Jake, but he got his first turkey last year. And just that excitement and chasing them, hearing them gobble. And it's like more active than just like deer hunting. Like,
yeah.
So I equate it almost. Do you do any predator hunting, like coyotes?
I trap. That's it.
Okay. It's almost like coyote hunting.
Yeah.
Like you can call, they respond. You go chasing them, try to cut them off, and it's just like a whole new game, and I'm starting to love it.
Yeah, I man, I got into turkey hunting about 10 years ago, and I'll say that the first couple years, I was like really into it all the time, like, oh man, can't wait for turkey season, and now I just feel like it's just something to do, like in the fall time. Yeah, like I love eating turkeys, but as far as like waking up super early to get out there, doesn't really appeal to me anymore.
So you're not a boring person?
I am. It's just, I just don't like, I've had experiences turkey hunting where I'm like, I didn't have to wake up that early to go out and get one. I mean, last year on opening day, me and my girlfriend doubled 15 minutes into it. And I was like, all right, well, here we go. And then, I mean, because here in upstate New York, we get two tags for the springtime. And our season is just the month of May. So it's, I mean, here, I mean, they're usually pretty turned up in May. And, you know, when the turkeys are all horned up, like, they do a lot of dumb shit. And,
yeah,
it's not... I've found, at least up here, it's not super hard to get one. We can't hunt past noon. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, if you get out there around 8 or 9, I mean, they're still going pretty hard, and you can usually have pretty good luck. That's for up here though. I can't speak for anywhere else though. But I mean, I enjoy it. It's something fun to do in the month of May, and I love eating turkey nuggets, and that's pretty much all I do with them. And, yeah, I mean, I've tried to do things with the thighs and the legs and they've turned out all right, but I'd say turkey nuggets are definitely my favorite for sure.
No, for sure.
Yeah. And I don't know.
I have private land to hunt, but it's limited. So I always try to go like public just because of how much ground I can cover. I like getting out there. So.
Yeah.
A public land tag is only 2 weeks long.
Really?
So I have 2 weeks to get it done. But if you get like lower Michigan, we have a private land tag, which is unit ZZ, and you can hunt end of April, all of May into June, try to get it done.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I shot my first turkey in Michigan and the southern part, but I think because you have to put in to draw, like you have to put in to draw a tag if you want the early hunt, right?
Yeah.
I think it was in April, and that's where I got my first turkey, but it was on private land.
Yeah, I have nothing against hunting private. I mean, that's where I shot my first turkey, was on private, and it was still exciting.
Yeah.
Going after them, like, I mean, it's. On private, if they're like on the neighbors or you see them like heading off in a different direction, you can't cut them off because you're limited to property lines.
Yeah.
It's like that little extra ability to chase them on public that's the exciting part for me.
Yeah. I shot my biggest turkey on public land up here, and it has an 11 inch beard and 1 1/8 inch spurs. And I was like, damn, this is a big bird.
Nice size one.
Oh yeah. No, like that's how I describe turkey hunting as, like to me, this is how I describe it to other people. Like for me at least, as like, it's like a roller coaster. Like you like get on it and then you're going up, up, up. And then when you're at the top, you know, is like when I shoot the turkey and then I go down and it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's just kind of like after that, it's like, all right, like I got it, you know, like deer hunting though, man, like I'll ride out a high on a deer for like 2 weeks. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
But turkeys is just like that limited, like fun, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. The first couple I shot, I was really stoked, and then it just wore off. I don't know. It's weird. That's just me, though. I know a lot of people like, love it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like that one-off high, you know.
Well, I think like
get you a little bit of thrill and then it's done.
Well, yeah. Well, because for me, you know, and I've talked to a lot of other people, and they're like, "Yeah, man, but you haven't chased that tom that won't come in, you know, the one that's super quiet and doesn't respond and all that." And I'm like, the way I see it, like, if I have a nice bird come in, I'm shooting it. And like, that's it. Because I'm not going to, like, sit there and wait and how's the saying go? Like, shoot on your first day what you would on your last or whatever. That's kind of what I feel like for turkeys. But, like, for deer, I'll hold out. I'll hold out for a deer. But for a turkey, I'm like, man, if it's bigger than a Jake and I could tell the beard's at least longer than 8 inches, I'm going to shoot it. Like, I don't. And they're really easy to find up here in upstate New York. Upstate New York has a boom in turkey population. I'm hesitant to say that, but I've drove by fields where you'll see 40 to 50 birds in a field. Like, it's definitely huge.
I've seen one field, and that was on private land, where it had about 80 turkeys on there. And that was, I want to say, like 15 years ago. And that was the one and only time I've seen that. Normally you get your like typical flock of like 10, whatever. But
yeah,
trying to find them on public land is, well, by me, I can't speak for anywhere else in the state. But yeah, it's trying to locate them. Like, I put 4 miles on last weekend trying to find where they're roosting. And I found them, but not like how you're describing.
and I don't think that it's a big deal for people up here to hunt turkeys either. I've never really met anybody up here hunting them that's that's like super crazy about them. Last year I ran into two guys that were hunting them, and they weren't even from here. They were from like New Jersey or something, and they were like, man, I can't believe all the birds that are up here. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Don't tell anybody. Like, like, no shit. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's kind of how I am too with anything. I hunt like very conservatively, I guess. Even like, you know, deer hunting. How do you think that, like, in your opinion for Michigan, cause I hunt Michigan as well, but I hunt Southern Michigan. How's the state doing at managing its deer? Do you think they're doing good or no?
No, not at all.
Like, what do you think needs to happen?
Personally, antler point restrictions. I'm a huge fan of them. I feel like I'm going to eat my words someday. We have a farm up in the thumb that we get to hunt. The only reason we get to hunt it is because the farmer wants everything shot.
Okay.
He doesn't have a lot of property. But mm-hmm. what he does grow, he feeds to his cows, he sells the corn, and this is his living.
Yep.
So anything that comes through there, I mean, turkeys, raccoons, they'll knock over the stock, deer, they just walk down rows and eat, and that's literally taking money out of his pocket.
Yeah.
So we got the permission to hunt there. He goes, as long as anything comes out, you shoot. So it's a great place to, you know, take our kids. They have great success. When we need some meat, go there, shoot some does. This past fall, I went out there with my dad, and I had a doe and a small buck come out, and they're heading to my dad. I was like, all right, I'll just let him shoot that, because I really did not. I would have shot the doe, no problem, but that buck, I was like, I didn't want to shoot it.
Yeah.
Just because of, I know it's not good for the herd,
yeah,
to be shooting the small bucks. So I let it go. But then like the second day we were out there, I'm like, you know, I don't want to upset the farmer, because this is a great place to have for, you know, the rest of the year. And especially, you know, getting the does,
yeah,
when you need meat, you know. But as for the rest of the state, I mean, we can shoot 10, you can get 10 antlerless tags.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But people aren't shooting the does over here. I mean, they'll let 10 does walk just so they can shoot a spike. I mean,
that's one thing that gets me. I will say
there's a lot of evidence for how great APRs are working over here. Like, in, we call it the Northwest 12. It's the Northwest 12 counties of the upper or lower peninsula. They have antler point restrictions up there, and it is doing amazing. You're seeing a wider age class of deer, bigger bucks. more does are getting harvested, and it's the balance up there is just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's like Pennsylvania. The whole state of Pennsylvania is an APR. They have to have three or more on one side, and it's only a one buck state, as far as I know. So, and some of the deer that are coming out of PA are hammers.
I mean, sure, yeah.
I mean, not like giants, but I mean, these guys are going out and shooting them 150. You know, that's a big buck to me. You know, and
yeah,
and it's absolutely. Yeah, like, can we do that? You know, can we get on board? Because even here in upstate New York, we need antler point restrictions. They don't have them. You know, it's and I'm kind of I kind of messed up a couple years ago during bow season up here, and I shot a spike that I thought was a doe, and you know, it was because the tags we get here in upstate New York, you can have a bow, either sex tag, and then you get a doe tag. So I had two tags in my pocket, and I was like, well, you know, I didn't see like the antlers on its head, so I thought it was a doe, and I was gonna let it have it. Well, I did let it have it, and then coming to find out it was a spike, and I was like, man, you're just thinking, like, if we had antler point restrictions, that would probably wouldn't have happened because I would have paid more attention.
Like, that's the one of the big arguments against antler point restrictions is, well, like those instances where you do have a spike that shot. Now, what are you going to face? Like criminal charges or penalties? I get it. I mean, like you said, you're going to be forced to take your time a little bit and actually be intentional and seeing like what you're shooting at is what you are shooting at.
Right. No, because, like, how I was raised, bow hunting, at least, by my dad, my grandpa, like, they always said, like, don't focus on the headgear. Like, you can look and tell that it's a buck, but don't, you know, like, as far as, I would say I've definitely matured more as a hunter in the past couple of years since that's happened. But I know when I was younger, I would get super focused on how many points. Like, now I could tell, I could be like, yep, that's a good buck, and I'm going to shoot it. Like, whereas before, I was like, nope, just let it fly. Yeah, like, that's the thing. I don't know how you would penalize somebody for making a mistake like that, especially if it was an honest one. I mean, I even texted my buddy that I was hunting with, and I said, dude, I just smoked a huge doe. And he was like, sweet, man, let me finish my hunt, and then we'll track it. And the crazy thing about it is, like, so this was a spike, but I got 90 pounds of meat back out of it. So, yeah. And that's what, like, my buddy said when we were dragging it out. He was like, dude, this thing's huge. Like, the body on it's massive. And I was like, I know. There's no way this thing is, you know, a year and a half old. I feel like it was older, but that's just me. I don't know. It was huge.
Have you ever sent the teeth in to get aged?
Nope, but I do have them, though. I still have them, so I probably could do that, yeah.
I mean, for, what, $30 or so, whatever it costs? I've never aged deer that way, but my dad's buck that he shot this past fall, it came up being 6.5 years old, so all of us were shocked.
I know. I saw that, and I was, like, really, really surprised, and I thought it was awesome, like, super sweet that the deer are surviving past 2.5 years old, you know? I was like, shit.
Especially with the neighbors that are up there. I think the one guy, he's 18 spikes that he shot up there intentionally. God. Well, there's nothing else, so that's the only thing that came out, so I'll shoot it. That's his mentality. So it's like, ah.
So is that... So where, like, I don't want to know where your dad shot it at, but is that more like
Clare County?
So it's like a hunting camp type thing.
My brother, he's got property on there, private property. So it's a little parcel, 30 acres.
Okay.
Neighbor, I think they got like 80 acres, and then there's a bunch of public surrounding it.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Cause I know up here we have a lot of people that will come from downstate. And they have hunting camps up here, and they also just, like, I'm going to say, like, they just rape the woods of, like, any, if it's brown, it's down, And it's crazy because up here, like, they don't even tag them right. So you can get, so how it goes is, like, you'll get your bow, either sex tag, and then you get a buck rifle tag, a rifle doe tag, and then you get, depending on your zone that you're hunting in, you can get another doe tag. And I've seen people who will use their bow tag and tag a buck during rifle season, and they get 2 bucks. I'm like, that's against the law, you know that, right? And they're like, oh, shut up, bullshit. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's a bow-only tag, and you can't use it during rifle season, but I'm an idiot. So, like, I literally called the game warden up here just to, like, confirm. I was like, so, I have this bow, either sex tag. Can I use this during rifle season? He said, no. He said, you can use it during bow, and you can use it during late bow. That's it. I said, okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's crazy how people won't even look into the laws, and they just terrorize things, and they're like, oh, I got a tag in my pocket. I'm like, man, I'm not the type of person to call the game warden or anything like that either, but I feel like maybe as I get older and I want to see bigger deer, I might start turning into an asshole. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things you gotta, yeah. I've never called the DNR on anybody. I mean, you go on public land and you see bait piles still, and
yeah,
you just shake your head and keep moving.
Right. No, I had the DNR called on me this year, so that was interesting. I was like, all right. Yeah, they just wanted to, I feel like the neighbor did after I shot that 11 point, and they just wanted to see it. So I showed it to them, and they're like, okay, all right. Everything checks out. And I'm like, who? Like, I was like, okay. I reported it, you know, like Michigan does report your harvest and all that. Reported it, did everything right. I was like, would you like to go and see where I shot it at and everything? And they're like, no. They're like, no, we believe you. I was like, why did you even come out here? Like,
that's bizarre.
Yeah, yeah, it was really weird. And I know we've had some problems with our
neighbor.
Somebody had that
buck on camera, and they were going after it. You pissed them off. That's what happened.
Yep. I have a feeling that's exactly what happened. And they were like, they asked me, they're like, you shot another buck too. I was like, yep, I shot an 8 point 3 days ago out on our family farm. And it's at the processor right now. And I was like, this is where I took it. You can go look at it up there if you want to. And they're like, nope. They're like, you've had pretty good luck this year. I'm like, yeah, I know. I tagged out in 3 days, so I'm done. Like, and they're like, well, you know, good luck with the rest of your season. I was like, yeah, I guess. I mean.
So 2 bucks in 3 days, did that give you 6 weeks of excitement?
Man, I was, it was crazy. Yeah, it was an awesome year. I doubt I'll be able to replicate a year like this again. But the only thing that did kind of bring me down a little bit was the fact that I did have the 11 point aged. And well, as far as, the guy who butchered it says that he could age them or whatever, and I also weighed it, field dress and all that. So the 8 point I shot weighed like 180 field dressed, and then the 11 point I shot only weighed 143.
Wow.
And everyone's thinking it's only a 2.5-year-old. So it kind of bummed me out, but it was like nobody's going to pass on that deer. Like,
for sure. Yeah.
Like, there's no way, like, nobody in Michigan would ever be like, I'm not going to shoot that deer, unless you had hundreds and hundreds of acres that you could manage properly and manage right. And you were like, nope, I'd like to see that deer go at least another 3 years, you know? But I shot that deer on 29 acres, and, yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody that would have passed it. So like that, and that was the only thing that made me feel bad about it. I was like, dude, if this thing could have made it like another couple years, it would have, oh my God, it would have been
exploded. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cause I scored it, at 137. And that was just green score. So hopefully it doesn't go lower than 130 so I can make Pope and Young with it, but we'll see.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. It's still a really nice buck. I definitely, I don't know, man. I really love bow hunting. It's definitely huge for me. What do you think about, because I know Michigan also has crossbow, like you can use crossbow. What do you think about that?
You know, it's an ongoing debate with another buddy of mine, because he went traditional 2 years ago. Last year was his first full year of using traditional equipment. He's got a recurve, and he actually got me into it as well.
Okay.
So this fall, I'll be using a longbow, and so him and I, we talked about, you know, the whole crossbow thing, and I understand both sides of the argument, but like a lot of people that are diehard bow hunters, they do not want crossbows allowed in their, during their season, their archery season. They think it's too much like a rifle just because of the ease of use, which I do get that. You can have an 8-year-old kid, as long as you cock back for them, they can look through the scope and put the crosshairs where they want to shoot and pull the trigger. It's that easy. But it's still an arrow and a string. You're limited by distance. They're heavy, so you need some kind of support or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm under the camp that says we have, as hunters, like what you talked about earlier, like there's enough bickering between hunters. We don't need that because there's other battles to fight against, you know, PETA and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, if you come to Michigan and you hunt on public land with a crossbow, I do not feel intimidated by you. I don't feel like you are altering my season in any way. So I am good with people using crossbows. I've used a crossbow before. I was hunting with my son and he was waiting for a buck, and then this doe came out, so I grabbed the crossbow and shot it. I mean, the excitement wasn't there like if I was drawing back a bow or whatnot, but or yeah, using a rifle. You know, it's just, I get both sides of the argument. Personally, I'm good with it. There used to have to get a crossbow stamp. It was a free stamp, allowed you to use a crossbow, but then they just made it open for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't want any of our rights to be taken away as hunters. So, because I know what path that leads to. More rights taken away, more rights taken away. So I'm good with it.
Yeah, it's harder to get them back once they're gone.
For sure. Like our dove hunting here.
Oh my, that's so ridiculous. Like the fact that, you know, you can't hunt doves here in New York either, and they're all over, and it's like, man, what kind of bullshit? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what it takes to get a law change, but I think once things settle down over here in a couple of years, I want to really push hard to try to get that changed. I don't care what it takes. I think it'll be like a lifelong battle for me to try to bring it back.
Oh, I think there's a lot of other people that are, you know, wanting the same thing that you're wanting as well. So there's probably organizations out there right now that are trying to get dove hunting back on the books. It's just crazy because what they say was a songbird, so they made it. Yeah. That was the whole thing about it. Yeah. Oh, it's just crazy. Yeah, I think, not to get off the topics of those, but like with crossbows at least, I've seen it go, like up here, at least I've seen it go both ways. Like I've seen, like, I'm not intimidated by a crossbow hunter, at all. Just like you said, like I've seen crossbow hunters in the wild and, from afar, and they're kind of comical to watch. And I'm like, dude, there's no big deer that's going to come around you, bud. So
yep.
I'm good. Like literally last year I seen this one guy, he was like walking around the woods. He had his crossbow out in front of him. Like it was a rifle or something. Like he was Rambo. And I'm like, bro, there's no way. Like this is, I tried to video it, but it was too far away to actually have like a good video. But I was like, this guy is out here literally like a deer is just going to jump up in front of him and he's going to put it down with that crossbow. I was like, okay, man.
I will say this, that those that opt for those willing and able-bodied people that choose to use a crossbow, they are a different type of person than those that would prefer to use a compound or traditional equipment. The mindset's different. They're not, they don't put in the effort. Well,
you could also,
like, I'm gonna upset some people.
Well, no, I mean, it's fine though, because like, I think the us as hunters, like, there are some things that do need to be said, that need to be addressed and called out, and we don't do it. And I think that would be like a good thing for hunting to do. You know, if we're all supposed to try to get on the same page, well, you know, it's like, it's like a team sport. You know, you're not going to have some guy on the team who isn't a team player, who's all about himself, who is selfish, you know, and I don't think that we need to associate ourselves with people like that call themselves hunters, because like you were about to say with the crossbow hunters, like they're definitely different. And people that I've talked to that do ask crossbows, that do use crossbows, like, I've never like grilled them about it, but right off the rip, I got an excuse. And I've said, like, you know, why do you use a crossbow? They're like, oh, well, I'm just using this until I get good with my other bow. And I'm like, well, if you want to get good with your other bow, then use that. Like, that's the only way you're going to get better.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, you know, just be honest about why you're using it. Just say, like, hey, like, I don't want to put in the work.
It's easy.
I don't want to shoot, you know, like, I want to get a bow out of the box that says it shoots 100 yards, and it does. Like, accurately, you know, like, that's what I want. Just admit, just say, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we got to be honest with ourselves. And that's not saying, hey, I want to take the easy route. That's not saying that's a bad thing.
Right.
It's just not for everybody.
Yeah.
But admit it.
For sure. Like, you know, hold yourself accountable. That's all I've ever really wanted in the outdoors, was for people just to hold themselves accountable and just be like, yeah, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do. Or, you know, like, morally, just be morally sound. I just, you know, I've listened to a lot of podcasts for the past couple of years, and whenever topics like this come up about crossbows and stuff like that, a lot of podcast hosts will say, oh, don't even get me started. I don't want to, you know, like, I don't want to talk about it. And it's like, why aren't you talking about it? Like, bring it up, talk about it, because there are a lot of other people out there that probably don't really think about crossbows as being, I don't know how to put it, but as far as like new people to the outdoors look at a crossbow as like a great way to get into it. But it's like, if you went down to your local bow shop, I know a couple guys that run bow shops, and every single one of them is always more than happy to set you up, to get your bow tuned to where at least like 20, 25 yards, you know, you're shooting into like a 50-cent piece. You know, and the rest is pretty much on you. How bad you want, you know, to get out to those 35, 40, 45 yard shots accurately. You know, but I just think like it's so appealing to people that are new to the outdoors, because they're like, look at this thing. It's dead on already. I don't have to do anything. Like, here we go. And now I could go shoot. Yeah.
And everybody is in their own stage of growth when it comes to hunting or pursuing game. Like, some people are, like you said, just getting started, and they're interested in it. They have no idea really what to expect. And sure, get a crossbow, be able to get out there, and instead of using a compound that you're not proficient in and end up wounding an animal, use a crossbow, get some kills underneath your belt, and then continue to grow, continue to learn. But to use that, especially, I know some guys that are taking 80-yard shots on deer, and it just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, just wait till gun season, you know? You use a rifle.
I haven't had, since I really upped my whitetail game, since I really just got into the meat of what it is to try to be a good whitetail hunter, as far as, like, you know, and I don't really like talking tactics and tips and all this other shit, but it's like, when I really got into it, it's like entry, exit, my scent, playing the wind, you know, all the important things that people take into account for that want to get the deer closer to them. Ever since I really started getting into that, I have not had a problem with having deer come within 10 or 15 yards of me. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just been, I mean, I just, you know, I feel like if people really want to learn how to hunt, like learn the craft, then you'll take those steps to do it instead of giving yourself like a handicap.
Like, for sure.
Go,
Yeah.
Like,
It's
get hard. Yeah.
And well, that you're just being intentional now. Like, I've been there too. Cause I was married, four kids. So it's the time out in the field and be able to practice and be proficient. It was hard.
Right.
So, and then when I get out, I would just like, I would be so rushed just to try to, cause I have a small amount of free time, is that when you do get out there, and I noticed too, is I was pressured to get it done because of how little time I had to do it.
Yep.
That when I didn't get it done, I was extremely angry. Now that I became more intentional, like you said, like trying to be a better hunter, pay attention to different sign and the wind and all that stuff, thermals.
Yeah.
That now I'm much more relaxed when I get out into the woods. That if something doesn't happen, like, or I don't connect, whatever, I'm not as angry as I was before. It's all about growth.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I've talked about with my, it was 2020, and, it was bow season up here, and it was really like my first experience with public land, because I grew up on a beef farm, and that's mostly what I hunted my whole life. And I'm truly spoiled, honestly, like just with the amount of deer and stuff like that. And then coming to a state like New York, where not very many deer, and you're in the big woods, as they call it, or whatever, and there's a lot to learn. And hunting field edge your whole life, you don't know shit when you come up here. Like, like, that's one thing I noticed. Like, my head was spinning. I was like, should I hunt this tree? Should I hunt that tree? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And there was one day.
Yeah, when you walk 50 yards and everything looks the same still, it's like, where do you pick to sit?
Exactly. Yes, that was a huge, like, and then I would start getting anxious, and I'd start feel like I'm wasting my time, because I'm like, you know, like, you just felt like you didn't know what was going on. So I had a day where I was like, you know what, I'm going to go across here and I'm going to set up on the other side of this clear cut, and I think I'll have better luck over there. So I ended up going halfway through the clear cut and didn't really realize until I got into the thick of it that it was all briars, everything. And I was just getting torn apart, and my bow kept getting hung up on shit. Like, I had an arrow come out of my quiver and I had to go back and get it and all this other shit. And I was like, just having the worst time of my life. And I was really pissed off. I was super mad. I wanted to take my bow and just wrap it around a tree and say, like, I'm done. So I stood there for a little bit and I just thought about, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you, do you even like this? You know, I was asking myself these questions, like, are you having fun? And I told him, I was like, no, I'm not. So I turned around and I went back the way I came and went back to the truck. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I need to think about why I'm really out here and what I'm really doing. Like, cause if I'm just going to get pissed off every time I come out here, then why even do it? Like, there's no, you know, I'm not having fun.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mindset is huge. And yeah, I get that. I've been, I can't tell you how many times I've just livid, like after a hunt or during a hunt, it's just like, and that the anxiousness is a big factor too, because when you get to a stand or you're sitting wherever you think you should be, finally decide, and it's like, now you're second guessing yourself. It's like, this ain't right. And like, yeah, the anxiousness increases and it's no longer enjoyable.
No, that 2020 was a year for me, a huge year of growth in so many different ways. And that year I only shot a doe, and, but I learned so much, just in all the stuff you were just talking about, like second guessing myself, huge. It was huge. Like, I thought that, you know, and I don't have any kids. I was married and all that, but I don't have any kids or anything. So I'm kind of just like a wild card, I guess. And I was like, man, you have literally like 45 days or at least, you know, potentially 45 hunts to figure this out, like during bow season, at least up here, it's 45 days. And I was like, why are you cussing and freaking out and you're only on like day five or six, you know? And that's something that was huge for me, just to be like, dude, just take a deep breath, man. Calm down. Like you're going to get it. You're going to connect. Just chill.
Yep. Same here. It's like if you slow down, do like a lot more scouting and being way intentional on every step of the process.
Yeah.
Your odds deliberate. Are going to be better. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, since I've had this problem on public, and I'm not the best public hunter, but I've shot a couple bucks off of it up here. Have you ever had a problem with people following you in on public?
No.
Okay.
Our public here, it's pressured, but it's almost like those, like the crossbow guys.
Yeah.
They're not going deep. So it's like once you get past like a mile from the lot, you eliminated 90% of the competition. And I don't know any of those crossbow guys that are headed out that far. I don't know.
It's
a different type of mindset to, you know, go that far. If you're going that far, you got to make it worthwhile.
Right.
Which the whole intentionality thing comes into play. But no, I haven't had, if I'm getting up to go hunt, I want to take my time. I don't want to rush. So I get out there earlier than what I should be and getting to stand and take a nap and wait an hour or two for the sunrise. And
yeah, you get out there. Yeah, really,
I take it nice and easy. So when I'm in the parking lot, there's hardly anybody there before I go in. So
yeah, now I've had
an issue in New York.
Yeah, I've had it happen a couple times. And the first time it happened, I didn't really talk to the guy because I was so pissed. And I was like, if I say something to him, I'm going to like come unglued, and I don't want to do that. So I just got in my truck and left. But the second time it happened, I was like, you know what? I'm going to ask this guy, like, what's up? You know, just, you know, I'm not going to be a dick about it, but I just want to, you know, see what he's thinking, like what's going on in this guy's head, you know? So I don't wear my hunting clothes like in my truck. Like I change outside of my truck and everything. Like I put it in like a scent box and all that stuff. And I just got done changing and I see a headlamp, you know, coming up through the woods almost from where I came from. And I was like, yep. I was like, this fucking guy, you know? So I'm sitting on the back of my truck and the guy walks up and I was like, hey, I was like, have any luck? And he was like, first thing he was like, does it look like I had any luck? And I was like, oh, I was like, okay, wow. And I was like, so what made you want to like hunt here? Just out of curiosity. I mean, it's public land. You can hunt wherever you want. I understand. But he was like, well, I've been driving past here for the past week and I've seen your truck here every evening. So I figured you must be hunting here for a reason. And I was like, this dickhead. I was like, and there was a reason. I had a really big 9-point on camera that had a kicker coming out of his G2 and it was super sweet. And it was probably a 130 class deer. And for New York, that's a monster. And I was after a big buck and this guy just didn't give a shit. And he was like, nope, I'm going to hunt here too, because obviously, you know, you haven't left the area. And I was like, dude, this guy, wow, what a peckerhead. Like, that's the only thing I could think. Like,
for even to admit it. Yeah. But because I saw you hunting here.
Yeah. He was like very, like, you can tell this guy was probably a dick just by how he was acting. I was like, all right, bud. Cool. Like, good luck, man. Yeah. Like, and
classic douchebag.
Oh, straight up. And I could tell that he was hunting off the ground. He had been hunting off the ground because he didn't have, he just had his rifle and it was during gun season, but I was using my my hanger with my climbing sticks that I could take down and, you know, all that other stuff. And I was like, this guy is probably just stomping all over the place. But it didn't discourage me from hunting there. And the only reason it didn't was because I was like, this guy might push this deer to me.
Yep, use it to your advantage.
Yeah, and I was like, if he does, then I'm golden. Because I would always get out there before him. And I don't know when he got there exactly, but I would get out there like, cause I was only able to hunt evenings then. And, every time I'd come up, this guy's truck would be there or it would be like 50 or 60 yards down the road or whatever. And I was like, you know, with this guy out here walking around, kicking shit around, like eventually something's got to come my way. I mean, nothing ever did, but it was just my mentality. Like, you know, maybe this guy can fuck everything up for himself, but put me in a good spot where, yeah. No,
I think that's where the courtesy comes into play, because I don't know how many times I've been in, you know, for like an evening hunt and like people are in the parking lot getting ready and it's like, hey, you know, where are you going to be going? Because, you know, I have backup plans. I mean, there's so much public by me that's like, all right, if you're going to be here, then I will not go that way. I'll let you be and I'll go somewhere else. Especially if you're there first, you know?
Oh, right. No, absolutely. Like I have A, B, C, D. Like I try to have like three or four different places where I know I could get to fairly quick if something else doesn't work out, or, you know, it just isn't a good day, or, you know, I don't know. I always try to do enough scouting. I don't think I scout enough, but I try to do enough to where I'm, I can put myself in a decent spot if anything happens.
Yep.
Yeah. And I totally agree having that conversation with the people in the parking lot, you know, just saying like, hey man, well, I'm trying to go over here, you know, and I don't know where you're going. I've also seen guys that, well, this actually happened for turkey season, and I pull up to the spot of public to go turkey hunting, and this guy pulls up and dude just jumps right out of his truck, grabs his shit and goes. And I was like, all right, man. So much for, you know, saying, hey, well, hey, you know, if I'm going to go this way, or are you going that way? Cause then I'll go this way. I just left. Cause I was like, I don't even know where this guy went and I don't want to get shot.
Exactly. Yeah. You gotta, you know, especially during rifle season.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just crazy. I don't know, just the way that, you know, I feel like we could all work together and figure a plan out or something, even if you don't know who the person is at all. What was I going to ask you another question about public land? Do you have any landlocked public land up there?
If there is, I really don't know about it. Okay. I know all of our stuff is pretty accessible.
Okay, yeah, I know a couple of people that have that issue where there's a huge amount of public land, but it's all landlocked in and they can't get into it because it's all private around it. Even up here in New York, there's some pieces that are private all the way around it, which is kind of ridiculous, but I mean, you should make an access.
Yeah, not so much here. It's like, I think we get lots of easements, every piece of public. I don't know. I don't think there's any really that's public land that's landlocked.
Okay. Yeah. No. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much all I want to talk about. Unless you have anything that you want to talk about.
No, that's good. No, yeah.
Awesome. It was a good talk for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely have to have you on again. It was super interesting.
Yeah. Let's get some more controversial topics. We'll see how many feathers we can rile up.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely wouldn't mind doing something after seeing how your turkey season went with your kids and whatnot. So maybe, I don't know, June, July, something like that. We can jump on again and talk about some issues, some things that happened.
Yep, that'll be perfect.
All right. Awesome, man. It was good talking to you, dude. Thanks for being on. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Tyler.
All right. Yeah, definitely keep in touch. All right, man.
You have a good one.
You too. See ya.
Yep. Bye. Bye.